Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Now, one family a day becomes homeless in Dublin. That's the hard-hitting finding from the homeless charity Focus Ireland, which published its annual report today. The charity says that there are now up to 5,000 people with nowhere to live, with just under 100,000 families on waiting lists. We'll be joined shortly in studio by the independent social researcher Brian Harvey, but first our reporter Della Kilroy is with me. And Della, you've been out on the streets today talking to people who are sleeping rough and in hostels in Dublin, and there are many of them. What did you find?
I have, Audrey, and as you say, over the past few years, many Dubliners will have noticed an increase in the numbers of people they see sleeping on the streets. And it's in its annual report released today. Focus Ireland said it dealt with a record of more than 10,000 people last year, a rise of 25% from 2012. They also said the situation is getting worse, with more than 8,000 people availing of its services since January. And in the past month, 39 families became homeless in Dublin alone. So it's not hard to find people living on the streets. And in fact, just walking up around O'Connell and Henry Street today, I saw over 8 homeless people begging in just 1 hour alone. It's also been reported that there's an increase in the number of young people becoming homeless. And the first man I spoke to was just 21 years old, and he said he's been homeless since he was 13. He was in the state care system, he has a child himself, and he said when he was younger he had to fight to get a social worker for himself. This is his story.
You're 21.
I'm 21 years of age and I've been homeless since I'm 14. Silly things like being a child and not wanting to listen at home and then ending up out on the streets, and then after that a while then the system kind of doesn't care after so long, like when you see it. That's what it seems like now. I'm at the bin, get a sleep mic, sleep out. And as I said, I'm only 21 years of age. I'm not a drug addict, as you can see. Like, people think it's just drug addicts. It's not. It's not, man.
And you were in the state care system.
Yeah. It was difficult, like, as well, to deal with things, because they just put you where they wanted to. It's not easy.
And did you get aftercare when you were 18?
No. Left to do. I have to do everything myself.
And have you noticed more people on the street?
Yeah, a lot more lately, yeah. There's even people from the working class now that's on the street.
What's it like sleeping rough on the streets?
It's hard. It's very hard. Like, only for the summer and the weather we're having at the moment, like, you'd hear of a lot more deaths than you already have. This year alone, there's had to be more deaths. I'm at the losing 4.5 stone in the past 8 weeks, just due to living on the streets. And as you can see yourself, I'm not on drugs, do you know what I mean?
And do you ever see any families or other younger people like?
Oh yes, there's a lot of families on the streets. Like, people actually that have jobs and they're still on the streets just because the housing, the housing is too expensive. How are you supposed to feed yourself and work and have a house?
Do you see a lot of people who have left care like you on the street?
Yeah, and an awful lot of them, God bless them, they don't last. An awful lot of people, it's friends of mine that have died at very young ages. The state could do a lot more, yeah. An awful lot more for young people, yeah.
That's just one young man there, Della, and it's an awful cycle, isn't it? I mean, like him, so many teenagers become homeless when they leave the state care system.
They do, and I spoke to another man in a similar situation. The second man I met was also in and out of the state care system and on the streets since he was just 10. Now, he's now 24, around the same age as Danny Talbot would have been. And as we know from a report published last week, Danny died of a drug overdose while receiving state aftercare at 19. And he hadn't received the services and the support he should have from the state from an early age. So this man's story was in a way similar to Danny's. And he told me Danny was actually one of his best friends. He said he was physically abused at home for years before he reported it himself to the Gardaí, even though he was going into school on crutches at one stage with a broken foot from abuse he was receiving at home. He told me his mum died when he was just 5 and his father was an alcoholic also on the streets. He first showed me a picture he had of his friend who recently died.
Only died the other day, like, he's homeless. That's a picture I have in my pocket. He's dead. That's my best mate. He had 4 kids.
So we're looking at a picture now of quite a young man with his daughter, like, his baby daughter.
He'd look after his family even though he was on the streets. Like,
you were homeless while in state care.
Yeah.
Have you noticed more young people and more families on the streets?
Yeah, but I've noticed more death than that. Like, my brother was only at the dying there the other day. He hung himself in Stephen's Green Park. He was homeless, me bro. He hung himself. He couldn't take the pressure of being on the streets. But some homeless bloke rob these runners as well. So it shows you how bad it can be, yeah. No support. I might be one of the quietest young fella on the street, but I don't hit women or anything, but I'm the hottest tempered young fella on the street, yeah. Because all I do is fight, you know. That's just this street. If you're on the street and you're homeless, all there is trouble because they have nothing to prevent it. There's not even a like if they open the pool hall for people to go to, we'd be going to that. Like there for a laugh and have a few games of pool with friends, but they haven't even got anything like that.
That's a 24-year-old homeless man. Who else did you meet today, Della?
I spoke to a few others. Another man I met was from Budapest. He's been homeless for 7 years and he sleeps rough in Phoenix Park. And he also told me that he's noticed an increase in people recently also sleeping in Phoenix Park. He said he found a lot of the hostels were full and that sleeping rough was sometimes safer for him. Also, another quite young woman I spoke to, just a few metres away from him begging, told me she couldn't sleep when she was in the hostels, so she also chose to sleep rough.
And you spoke to a man too who has just recently become homeless because of issues to do with his renting.
That's right, Audrey. And Focus Ireland today claimed that the government policy on rent supplement and the lack of rent control is causing the rise in this kind of homelessness in Ireland at the moment. For this man, he's been homeless for 6 months and I found him begging on Henry Street. He first read out to me what his sign said.
My sign says homeless, I don't drink or take drugs, I'm just homeless due to a rent increase. Any help to get a safe hostel would be very appreciated. Thank you and God bless.
How long have you been homeless for?
About 6 months. I had a beautiful little flat in Rat Mines and the rent allowance department decided that they wanted to pay the landlords less money. So my landlord wasn't prepared to take any less than what he was already getting, because, you know, it was a beautiful flat, you know, he was already getting less than what he should not. He was already charging me less than what he could have got for it if someone was in there that was working and paying rent, you know, and he wasn't prepared to lower it for the rent allowance department, and I couldn't afford to pay the extra bit. So when my lease ran out, I've ended up like this again.
You're in and out of the hostels now. What are they like?
Yeah, most of them are really quite diabolical, you know. You do get the good ones. I mean, the emergency ones that you have to phone the council for every day to see where there's a bed, them ones are quite bad. You know, you get a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics in them ones. You've got to be out at 9 a.m. and you don't get back until 9 p.m. There's no guarantee that you'll get a bed every day, you know. It's just first come, first served. I've noticed a lot of young people on the streets in the last few months, yeah. So there's a lot more people sleeping rough during the summer.
And what's it like sleeping rough?
It's very dangerous, yeah. It is very dangerous, yeah. There's just as many women as what there is men, I think. You know, you get young lads coming out of the pub, you know, drunk, and just, you know, just see people on homeless sleeping rough in a shop doorway, and, you know, they're just getting battered for no reason.
Another man begging on Dublin's Henry Street today, talking to our reporter, Della Kilroy. Well, with me now in studio is Brian Harvey, who's an independent social researcher who has worked with Simon in the past. He was also chair of the National Campaign Against Homelessness. We did ask for a member of the government to come onto the programme this evening to discuss this issue, but none was available. They did issue us with a statement. I'll read part of that now, actually, because they say that work is continuing apace on implementing their implementation plan on the state's response to homelessness, in which the government's approach to delivery on its objective of ending involuntary long-term homelessness by the end of 2016 was outlined. I'll go through some of the rest of it in a moment. But on that, first of all, Brian, I mean, there is a view among some people that for some people, homelessness is a choice. It's a lifestyle choice. But is it really?
I think ask the homeless. And they will tell you a very different story. Nobody chooses to be homeless by choice. It's such an awful existence. You are at risk of your life, quite literally. You are at risk of assault. You are at risk of considerable ill health. I think anyone who considers that view should try sleeping out for a night and let them come in and tell you how they get on. That's not the real world.
Well, in terms of the figures today from Focus Ireland, one family every day becoming homeless, 100,000 families on the waiting list. So that's at least double that number who have no place to live. How did we get to this point?
We got to this point starting in 1988. Until that time, there'd been a general agreement between government, the public service, the politicians on a bipartisan basis that between a quarter and a third of all housing in this country should be built by the local authorities with funding from general taxation. And even when we were a much poorer country than we are today, in the 1950s, in the 1970s, in the 1980s, we were building up to 8,000 local authority homes a year. In 1988, during the greatest crash before the most recent crash, the decision then was taken to cut some areas and not others. Social welfare was a little cut, health was a bit cut, education very little, but housing was decimated. State funding for housing fell by 90%. The output of about 8,000 homes a year fell to something in the order of 700, and it never recovered from that. It has never got back up to where it was. The waiting list rose from 19,000 in the late 1980s to over 90,000 today. So this has been a crisis more than 20 years in the making. And to compound it, government policy, essentially in the 1990s and during the Celtic Tiger period, was to let the market provide housing. Now, the market can indeed provide a lot of housing very well and very successfully, but the market cannot be expected to provide homes for people on low incomes because they will generate insufficient profits, nor can the market be expected to solve the problem of homelessness. That is where a social housing programme through the local authorities of a substantial nature, but on a small and medium-sized scale of estates and so on, is absolutely necessary. And that is where it has all gone so very, very badly wrong. I think one of the most interesting features of Focus Point, besides the fact that its figures are thoroughly alarming, is this is taking place in the middle of the summer. We normally consider homelessness to be a winter crisis, a Christmas news item, albeit a sad and disturbing one. But this is now happening in the middle of summer. This should be a wake-up call to government. And I would have hoped that any government statement issued to you or issued to anyone this evening would respond to that wake-up call and would give a very serious consideration to the type of measures, short, medium and long-term, that must now be undertaken.
Well, what is your assessment of this government's approach to the issue? Because we've heard announcements of 25,000 new social housing over the last number of months. What's your assessment of what they're doing?
I think there are a couple of things here. I think government homeless policy since the early 2000s has been quite good. It's been quite enlightened. It, in effect, has said we must minimise the amount of time that people spend in night shelters. We must reduce the volume of night shelter accommodation because it is often not very good and certainly dangerous. And you heard a moment ago the reasons why homeless people don't like a lot of night shelter accommodation. We must prevent homelessness, something that is not happening at the moment. And we must move people out. And this is the most critical thing, from night shelters into long-term accommodation with social worker support if it's necessary. But that is the problem. At the moment, there is insufficient accommodation available either in the private rented sector, but more particularly in municipal housing. Those opportunities are simply not there. Although, as you rightly point out, the government has pledged to construct 25,000 houses, it didn't say what type of houses. And the problem is that we're looking in the local authority programme this year of about 500 houses. Now, 500 is completely off scale in terms of what is needed to meet 90,000 people on the waiting list. You can do the mathematics on that yourself. I don't think government fully understands the scope and the scale of what now must be done. And although, as I said, homeless policy has the basic principles correct, if there is not going to be a supply of social and municipal housing available to homeless people, and I think also particularly not just to families, important though they are, but also for single people. Single people have always been at the very, very bottom of the housing list, but single people should have rights as well. Indeed, only a few years ago, I met a homeless man in his 60s. He'd been on a housing waiting list as a single homeless person 14 years, and he was told out straight that he will never in his lifetime get local authority housing because he's always going to be down, pushed to the very bottom of the queue where he's always been and where, who knows, he may still be today.
So if the houses aren't being built, if there isn't the provision there, what do people do?
They sleep rough, they squat, they stay with friends, they go into overcrowded accommodation, they wander the streets looking for help, trying to find agencies like Focus Ireland who can help them. But it's a miserable, difficult, appalling situation.
But what short-term measures could the government do to alleviate the immediate impact?
I think we may even now have to consider something that goes completely contrary to what I've just been saying, which is, do we now need to be putting emergency accommodation in place in the middle of summer? Something which has never happened before. But that could only be a short-term solution. There are important long-term solutions we need to think of. We do need, as I said a moment ago, to increase the supply of social housing. But there are two other important things we need to do. The legislative base on which the government operates is far too weak. In the 1980s, the homeless organisations argued for a homeless persons bill, which would place a duty on the local authorities to house homeless people. Instead, legislation was finally agreed which put responsibilities on local authorities, which they may discharge in a number of different ways. The problem is that that doesn't oblige them to do that. And if the government does not provide them with sufficient resources to do that, they're not going to be able to do that job anyway. But we do need to come back and do what other European countries have done, which is to impose a duty on the local authorities. They do that in the other European countries, which have been much more successful in housing homeless people. There's a Homeless Persons Act, for example, in Great Britain, our neighbour. There are rights to housing in both the law and the constitutions even of other European countries. The Constitutional Convention recently proposed that there be a right to housing in Ireland. And so far, the government, I would have liked to have seen the statement from government this evening showing that it would take up that proposal. And the other thing that is missing is that government has not been good at involving non-governmental organisations like Focus Ireland, like Threshold, like the Simon Communities, like the Peter McVerry Trust, in the heart of government where those policies are driven. Much though I esteem these civil servants who are operating current government policies, they're doing that on their own. It's civil servants talking to civil servants. The voice of the non-governmental organisations who have the knowledge, the on-the-ground experience, all the ground truth that Focus Ireland is reporting back today, they're not being given their space, the opportunity, the place in there to drive that policy, because that would make such a huge difference.
And you think that come October and the budget, rather than talking about tax cuts, they should be talking about social spending.
It was very interesting that when we learned today that the nature of cuts expected this October may be less than anticipated, one of the first things that some commentators did was to say, aha, it's payback time. Now is the opportunity to reduce taxes. And I would question whether that is absolutely the right decision to make at this moment. Do we really want to go back to the Celtic Tiger days of low spend, low tax economics, which gave us a social return of housing, of people without housing, of homeless and of poverty? Those European countries that have been much more successful in addressing homelessness and poor housing are those that do spend more, that do tax more. And that's a very difficult message to get across. And our government now faces a choice of whether the social recovery that the Tánaiste has recently promised, whether the economic recovery that is being promised, if there is indeed a recovery, why is the money from that recovery not going into a significant programme of social housing? And those are the choices that the present government faces and which the electorate will face as to what kind of society do we want, one in which there is reasonably good level of social spending, much reduced homelessness, or hopefully none at all, and much improved housing and homes for those on low income.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for coming in. That's Brian Harvey, who's an independent social researcher.